Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ.
We're a church which opens its arms to the leadership and participation of the LGBT plus community.
All are welcome here.
More than welcome here. This is home. We belong.
Let's pray. God, we're searching for you. Show us how you've been here all along. Amen. Does anybody remember a little-known movie called The Wizard of Oz? Did anybody really love that movie? I have to admit that I was scared of it for years. I'm still maybe a little scared. A little girl, and here's a story about a girl who goes up in a tornado, and then she lands in some unfamiliar place, and she just wants to get home, and she can't seem to do it. And the witches and the munchkins, and the whole thing. I thought it was very scary. But when I read our story today, unlike Jim, who thought of Jesus, I could only think of the Wizard of Oz. And I thought, there's no way. There can't be any parallels between that story and this one. But then I mentioned to one of my coworkers, who is probably not in the sound booth right now, that this was the story, and he said, Dorothy and Toto. And then your old pastor, Jay Cummings, came in, and we had a nice visit, and just as he was leaving, I noticed he had one of his marathon t-shirts on from the state of, wait for it, Kansas, and underneath it said, the Land of Oz. So it was a sign from God. I had to get the movie, and my daughter happened to have it. So I watched a little bit of The Wizard of Oz, and I call that, as always, sermon preparation. You know in the movie that Dorothy and Toto get sucked away in a tornado. And in our story today, Elijah ascends to heaven in a whirlwind. Now, when we last visited Elijah, he was hiding in a cave. And he heard the sound of a great wind. And then there was an earthquake. And then a big fire goes blasting by. And when he hears the sheer silence, then he goes out of the cave and he talks to God. And God says to him, I want you to appoint your successor, Elisha. Now, it's kind of a sobering message, isn't it? By the way, your days are numbered. Get your affairs in order. Get ready to pass the torch to somebody else. Not exactly the message that we want to hear. But that's where Elijah was. So he goes on then, finds Elisha, appoints him as his successor, and begins to teach him. And they are walking along together today on their way to Bethel. Now, what's interesting about what Jim read, well, there's many interesting things about it, but one thing that I think is interesting is that everyone seems to know that Elijah is going to be taken away today. It's going to happen today. This company of prophets, this group of religious men who are devoted to worshiping Yahweh and keeping the laws, they say to Elisha, hey, don't you know that your master is going to be gone today? And Elisha says, yes, I know. I don't want to talk about it, okay? I don't want to hear about it. I know time is short. Don't keep reminding me. Time is so precious when we have little of it left. Elisha is not ready to lose his mentor, but he knows that it is coming. Then Elijah says, well, I think God is calling me to Bethel. You stay here. And of course, Elisha says, there is no way I am leaving you. So they go to Bethel. Then Elijah says, God is sending me to Jericho. You stay here. And Elisha says, no, this is the last day. There is no way I am leaving you. And then Elijah says, God is sending me to the Jordan. You stay here. And Elisha again says, no, I will not leave you. He has to say three times, I will not leave you. I am going with you. Dorothy is traveling the yellow brick road. And Elijah and Elisha are going on a journey through some very historic sites in Israel. It was Evelyn this week who suggested that each place that they stopped was a marker or a placeholder for the rich history of Israel. And she was right. The first place that Elijah visits is Bethel. Generations before, Jacob had camped there and had a dream. In that dream, the angels were going up and down a staircase, and God said these words to Jacob, "Know that I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go." Words that I needed to hear this week, words that we all need to hear, and words that Elijah, in his last day, really needed to hear and remember. The second place that they visit is Jericho. Now, Jericho was a city with great walls. It was impossible, impenetrable to get through. And at this time, Moses had died after leading the people for decades, and he passed the torch to Joshua. Now, the people and Joshua are probably not really sure about this new relationship. They arrive at Jericho, and Joshua instructs the people to march around the city 6 days in silence. No speech, no talking, silence. And on the seventh day, when the trumpets blast, all the people shout and the walls come down. That moment cemented Joshua as the new leader in Israel. That was what the people needed, and that was what Joshua needed to know that no matter where he is, whatever he does, wherever he goes, God is with him. He's never alone. So I think that that stop maybe was more for Elisha than Elijah. Maybe Elisha needed to realize that he was, in fact, going to be the next prophet in Israel, much like Joshua was the successor for Moses. Now, the third stop is the Jordan River. And Israel has this rich history of the waters being parted, starting with Genesis, when God divided the waters and dry ground appears. Then when the people leave slavery in Egypt, they go to the Red Sea and the Red Sea parts. And then there are actually several places where the Jordan River is stopped so that the people can cross over on dry ground. So Elijah hits the water with his mantle and the water parts. And it's God again saying, "I am with you. I have never left you alone." At each stop, Elijah is remembering those important moments in his journey and the moments that truly shaped Israel. Now, once they get across, Elijah asks Elisha, "What can I give you before I am taken?" Now, Dorothy knows what she wants. Dorothy wants to go home. Do you remember what the scarecrow wanted? He wanted a brain. The Tin Man wanted a heart. And the cowardly lion wanted courage. He says, "I just want to get up the nerve." They know exactly what they want, and so does Elisha. Elisha asks for a double portion of Elijah's spirit, which does not mean twice as much. It actually means two-thirds. He wants the inheritance of the oldest son. The oldest son in a family in Israel would get two-thirds of the family farm or business, and all the other kids would divide the other third, which is totally fair if you're the oldest son. That's what Elisha wants. He wants to be the heir. He wants to get the portion that would be given to the firstborn son. And Elijah says, "Yes, you can have it," but he gives Elisha a marker, a placeholder, if you will, a way to know that this inheritance is truly his. And he says, "If you see me when I'm taken from you, then that spirit will be yours." So Elisha is motivated not to take his eyes off his master. And the men continue to walk along the road, closely together, talking with one another. It takes something really impressive to divide these two enough so that Elijah can make an exit. And it's, of course, a fiery chariot and horses that are on fire that go racing between the two men and divide them. And even with that distraction, Elisha is so focused on Elijah that he does not take his eyes off Elijah. And he sees the whirlwind manifest, and he sees Elijah rise up in it. He is watching the whole time. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have been looking at the horses. I would have missed the whole thing. But Elisha doesn't do that. He truly wants to know that he has that same spirit that Elijah has. He needs it if he's going to be the prophet in Israel. Now, remember that a prophet means someone who hears from God and tells the people. That's the definition of a prophet. And Elisha wants to know that he has that ability. So he keeps his eyes on Elijah, and he sees him being sucked up in a whirlwind. Now, a whirlwind is a tornado or a very large dust devil, and they're actually common in Israel during the rainy season. Now, whenever we see a tornado or a wind or a whirlwind like this in the Bible, it usually means there's a theophany, which is just a fancy word for God's sighting. It just means that God's going to manifest on earth, and we look to the whirlwind to see God's manifestation. In Job chapter 38, God speaks to Job out of the whirlwind, and I've always pictured that. You know, Job and his friends are sitting, they're arguing, and then this whirlwind tornado appears, and this big voice booms out of it. Just like the Wizard of Oz, when Dorothy and her friends are standing before that charade with the lights and the smoke and the big face and the big voice. Until Toto pulls the curtain aside and a man appears. Elisha watches Elijah disappear into the sky, and then he rips his garments in anguish. Dorothy, brokenhearted, realizes her last hope to leave Oz has disappeared, and she'll never go home. But then she notices a light, an orb, coming toward her. Elisha is standing beside the Jordan River alone. Chariot is gone, the horses are gone, the wind has died down, Elijah has disappeared, and he's standing in that quiet. And then he sees something on the ground, and it's the mantle, the cloak of Elijah. And so he picks it up, and he goes to the Jordan, and he strikes the river, and he says, "Where now is the God of Elijah?" And Dorothy learns that all along, the power she needed to go home was with her. And she tapped her heels together three times and said, "There's no place like home." Elijah watches the river as it parts, and he knows that he has the double portion of Elijah's spirit, and he crosses over on dry ground. And Dorothy opens her eyes and finds herself back at home, surrounded by all those that she loves, and she realizes that she was never alone. They were there all the time. I think that's what God's message for us today is. We're never alone. God has been with us all along. Life is not always easy, is it? It's not a yellow brick road, for sure. It's more like being hit by a tornado more often than not. Sometimes life tricks us and we feel a little exposed, like the curtain is opened. And everyone sees, and we say, "Do not look at the man behind the curtain." Sometimes things like those Supreme Court judgments this week strike us like a physical blow. But here's what we know from this story, that God is with us, and we are never alone. So when was the first time in your life that you knew that? Do you remember? Do you remember where you were? Do you remember ever hearing or knowing that God loves you and God is always with you? Because that is your Bethel. Bethel means house of God, Beth-El. If you've never had that experience, then today, right now, this is your Bethel. Because I'm going to tell you that God loves you. That you are never alone, Even when you feel alone, when things are difficult, God is always with you. There is no place on heaven or earth we can go where the love of God is not able to reach us. Now, some of us are facing our own Jerichos, those places in our lives that are impossible, impenetrable. Maybe your Jericho today is a medical diagnosis. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's grief or loss. Maybe it's anxiety or family relationships that have disintegrated. It could be any number of things. And what do we learn from our visit to Jericho this morning? That we find God in that silence. That we sit in silence and we wait for God. And then we are reminded that God makes a way when there is no way. That God will move. We simply have to be aware. And what is your Jordan? Anybody had a miracle? One of those moments when something happens that should not have happened and you can't explain it, but it did, and it was incredible? Those moments are our Jordans, and it's so important for us to notice our Bethels and our Jerichos and our Jordans in our own journey as we write our own story. And I find that if I don't write things down, I can't remember them. So my Bible is full of notes about things that happened when, with the dates, because it's important to know, it's important to remember. Friends, when time is short, it's precious. And so today, just to make us all feel a little bit better, and because I know you want to, I want you to tap your heels together 3 times. I'm going to try to do it. And imagine closing your eyes for the final time on this earth, knowing there's no place like home, and then when you open your eyes, you are surrounded by those you love and those who love you. And you're in the place where God has been awaiting and preparing your wonderful homecoming. And you're so truly and fully loved that you know that you know that you know that you were never alone, that God was always with you all the time. Amen. Let's go in peace. Our service has ended. Thank you all for being here.